Glad that you're here this week. It's week three in our fall message series that I'm calling, What is God's Plan? And if you're new to us this morning or you've missed a couple of weeks, let me just catch you up a little bit. We're talking about how we can find God's perfect will for our lives. And 2 weeks ago, we kicked off this series by talking about the three boundaries that help us to find God's will for our lives. We talked about the providential will of God, and I put a piece of tape down this wall. The providential will of God is that part of God's will that's going to happen no matter what. There's nothing you or I can do to change it. It's just God's will. It happens no matter what. And then I drew another line towards the back. And we called that the moral will of God. And the moral will of God is the instructions that God gives us in the Bible that if we cross outside of that boundary, then we're obviously out of God's will. And then we talked about the personal will of God. And I think all of you in this section were in that sweet spot, in those boundaries that we would call the personal will of God. And then last week, we talked about some of the common mistakes that people make when they're looking for God's will and trying to discern what His plan is for our lives. We talked about the fact that a lot of times we don't ask. We don't pray about what we should do or the decisions that we make. The second mistake lots of people make are that we rely too much on logic. And the third one was that sometimes we hear what we want to hear. And that's been something that's happened to me and has probably happened to you. And today, I want to talk about the road markers that will help you know that you are in this sweet spot of God's will. There are four road markers that I want to talk about today that are pretty reliable in identifying to you whether or not you are on the right path with God's plan for your life. So, road signs. I am kind of curious sometimes when I travel. I love to see some of those unique road signs that you don't see where you live. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to spend about a month in Alaska, and I traveled around the southern part of Alaska. One of those road signs that I thought was kind of comical when I first got there was the big "Don't hit the moose" signs, all right? We have the deer signs in Montana because deer are hit more commonly than anything else. But up in Alaska, you see the moose signs everywhere. And I talked to some people that hit a moose. And let me tell you, those signs are important because you don't want to hit a moose. And when I was down in Florida one time, there were all kinds of signs for alligators. You know, there's alligators crossing the road. You don't want to hit an alligator. I suppose you don't want to hit an alligator. My wife and I joked at that time, you know, we'd like to see the manatee crossing signs on the roads, and we never really saw those. You'll laugh at that later. Okay. Manatees don't really cross the road. And you know you're on the MSU campus if you see what sign? The little duck crossing signs, right? And I love that. I love that little duck pond, and I always slow down for the ducks. Anybody slow down for the ducks? Have you ever hit a duck? Josh, you shouldn't have admitted it. Okay. Now you're the bad guy in the group. See? Chris and I were traveling one time. We were traveling one time through the state of Arkansas, and we were traveling a part of the country that we had never been through before. And I'm looking at the atlas, just completely intrigued with Arkansas. Anybody from Arkansas? So if I insult Arkansas people, that's no problem. Okay, good. We're traveling through Arkansas, and you know, everything is new and everything is strange, and we came to the little town of Flippin', Arkansas, and we just thought, wow, what a great name for a town. Where do you live? I live in Flippin', Arkansas, you know, and we're making all kinds of jokes and stuff, and pretty soon we drove by this pretty little church in Flippin', Arkansas, and the lawn was manicured and this nice big tree. And then I saw the sign, and I had to pull over and take a picture because the sign said, Flippin' Church of God. How would you like to be a member at the Flippin' Church of God? I just thought that was great. So today we're going to talk about four signs that will help you identify that you are in the personal will of God for you. What are those things? If you are following Connect Church on Facebook, Shoni is going to be posting the Flippin' Church of God picture on Facebook, so you can make your own comments about the Flippin' Church of God if you want to. But also, I'm asking you the question about these signs. I hope you'll take some time to answer this question. What does it feel like when you see some of these signs? How does it feel like, and how do you identify it in your life? So I hope you'll take some time to do that. But this morning, I want us to start today in Acts chapter 20. And if you have your Bibles, you can certainly turn to Acts chapter 20. And this passage will be up on the screen as well. I want to tell you the story of the Apostle Paul and how he saw these four signs. And we could have talked about any number of characters in the Bible and the road signs or the road markers that help them to see God's will in their life, God's plan for their life. You could see these four signs in the life of David or the life of Nehemiah or the life of Peter. Many, many of the leading characters in the Bible have had these same kinds of things. But here in Acts chapter 20, we see the Apostle Paul. He's in the city of Ephesus, and he's been ministering in Ephesus. He's been pastoring there for a long period of time, and the time has come for him to move on. And he stands up in the congregation, and I imagine that it was a little bit like what we're experiencing today. There's a packed house, and the Apostle Paul, who has planted this church in Ephesus, he's been a key leader, he's very emotional as he begins to share with this church that it's time for him to move on to a new place. And this is what he says. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bibles. Paul says this, "And now," he says, "I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem." I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And your Bible may say that I'm compelled to go or some other word, but this word is really a pretty good translation. I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And he goes on and he says, "I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me that in city after city, that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news of the wonderful grace of God." Now, from this statement from the Apostle Paul, I want us to identify these four road markers. And if you're taking notes on the note cards that were on your chair this morning, you can write these down. Here's number one. The first road marker that the Apostle Paul identified and that we can see in our lives is this: the Spirit's prompting. The first marker that you will see in identifying God's plan for your life is the Spirit's prompting. Paul said this, "And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem." I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Now, this is a very interesting phrase. If you've been in church culture for very long, you've probably noticed that Christians a lot of times use, I call it Christianese, okay? This language that nobody but insiders know, okay? You know what I'm talking about? Like, people will say things like, "I just felt led to say this to you," okay? What are they saying? They're saying something kind of similar to what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Or they may say, "I feel prompted by the Spirit to say this," or "I felt prompted by the Spirit to go to this place and do such and such." That might sound unfamiliar to you if you're not a Christian, but I want you to see very clearly what the Apostle Paul is saying here when he says, "I am bound by the Spirit." Let me give you two Greek words, and I want to define these two Greek words for you. The first one is the word deo. Deo, D-E-O. And this word in the Greek language, which is what this passage was written in originally, this word means to bind or to be fastened with chains. To bind or to be fastened with chains. And metaphorically, what Paul is saying is, I am chained to the Holy Spirit, or I am bound up with the Holy Spirit. So that's the first word, deo. The second word is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And like I shared with you during our prayer time earlier, this means the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, or it can mean just a movement of the air. And there's really some beautiful symbolism in that Greek word, that the Holy Spirit is in us, he's all around us, all that kind of stuff. But what Paul is saying when he says, "I am deo pneuma," I am deo pneuma. He's saying that I am attached. I am chained to the Holy Spirit. And it is such a powerful thing that I think that what Paul is really implying here is that such a strong compulsion, it is such a strong motivation in his life in the Spirit that he doesn't have a choice. Where the Spirit takes him, he is going to go because he is chained to the Holy Spirit. Deo pneuma. Would you say that out loud with me? Deo pneuma. I am bound by the Spirit. Now, if you've never walked with Christ, if you're just checking Christianity out today and you're here listening to me, this may seem just completely whacked to you. But let me try to explain it in a way that's a little easier to understand. If you have ever been to a large city and you've gone to a shopping mall and they have a Cinnabon in that mall, how many of you have ever walked into a mall, okay? You know that smell? It just pervades the entire shopping mall, right? And when I get into one of those shopping malls and I smell that smell, my legs just start moving and I'm going to Cinnabon, okay? And I'm being led by my nose, we're going to Cinnabon. And Chris is like, no, we're going to Nordstrom. And I say, au contraire, we're going to Cinnabon. I am compelled, I am led by my nose to get to Cinnabon. Happens to me sometimes in airports, because there are some airports, I think Salt Lake City, doesn't it, have a Cinnabon, same kind of thing. Chris is going to Terminal D, and I'm going to Cinnabon. I'm compelled to go to Cinnabon. Paul said, I am deo pneuma, I am bound, I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Another way that I could describe it is, have you ever had just this feeling in your gut that you need to do or say something? You've just got this gut feeling. I think that's probably a good description of what deo pneuma feels like. It's just a pit in your stomach that's giving you this compulsion that you have to act. I've had several conversations in the last couple of weeks with people that have had this kind of experience. It's deo pneuma. It's a gut feeling. I visited with somebody a couple of weeks ago who's new to Connect Church. And this person was concerned about making an important business decision in her business. And she shared this with me, and she said, I just have a gut feeling. I think that was her exact words. I have a gut feeling. And I just need to know, is this the Holy Spirit or is this just me? So we talked it out, and I could tell that this was the Holy Spirit prompting her to make an important decision. It didn't make any sense according to the bottom line. It was... If it was all about money, it probably wasn't the right decision, but it was a deo pneuma thing that was happening to her. A gut feeling, a Cinnabon moment. And then this week I had somebody call me on the phone, and this caller called, and she had attended one of our services, and she doesn't attend Connect Church, but she had attended one of our services, and she said, I keep waking up in the middle of the night and thinking about this thing, and I think the Holy Spirit wants me to share something with you. And so she shared something very important to me, and I said, thank you so much for being obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. It was this thing in her gut that she knew that she had to speak, she had to share something important with me. This is deo pneuma. Sometimes this happens to my wife. My wife describes this quite often, and by the way, if you're looking for Chris this morning, she's really, really sick with a bad cold, and so she isn't with us this morning. But sometimes she will have these deo pneuma moments, and she says to me, I felt so compelled to say something to somebody that I was going to get sick to my stomach if I didn't obey what the Spirit was communicating to me. This is deo pneuma. It happens deep in the gut of who you are. Amy Thompson shared with me a couple of months ago that sometimes during our church services, she feels like the Holy Spirit is compelling her to share something with the whole group. And she called me up and she said, Russ, is that okay to do? And I said to her, absolutely. Just come and talk to me and say, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to share something. And I would say to all of you, this is part of what it is to be a part of a community of Christ followers. We all have different gifts. And from time to time, the Holy Spirit will speak to Amy, or he will speak to Terry, or he may speak to John, or it doesn't even have to be somebody in leadership. Anybody may receive a gift from the Holy Spirit that is meant to be shared with everybody. and you may get that feeling in the pit of your stomach. You may be even be one of these people who hates public speaking, but you feel like you're going to throw up if you don't get up and share what the Spirit is saying to you. This is Deo Pneuma. And when it comes to following the will of God in your life, it's so important that we identify those gut feelings as being Holy Spirit moments that help us find the sweet spot of the will of God. Here's how Job described it in chapter 32 of this Old Testament book. He said this, "I am full of pent-up words, and the Spirit within me urges me on. I am like a cask of wine without a vent. I am like a new wineskin ready to burst." Okay? Now, very, very seldom do we have wineskins in our homes that are ready to burst. But you know what'll happen to this pop can, right? If I shake it long enough and hard enough, and then, Keith? Right in your mouth, Keith? Okay. You know what'll happen, right? And you know that I'm either immature enough to do this or...
Do it!
Kimiko is shielding her husband behind you, Keith. You know what'll happen, right? If I shake this up hard enough and release it, it's just going to spew. This is a good illustration of what Deo Pneuma is. And you know what? I am mature enough to set this can... But sometimes when the Holy Spirit is leading us, it can feel like you're a pop can that's just going to spew everywhere. That's what Deo Pneuma is. This is the first road sign that takes place when we're seeking God's plan for our life. Here's number two. You can write this down. Number two is certain uncertainty. Certain uncertainty. As we go on in that story that we read earlier about the Apostle Paul, he said, "I don't know what awaits me." He just didn't know. He had some good ideas. All he knew at the moment was that the Deo Pneuma was leading him to go to Jerusalem, but the rest of it was really unclear. And this can happen to us as well. When we're following the Lord, sometimes God will give us very specific directions. Move to this city to do something new, or develop a relationship with this person, and we don't always know exactly what all the details are. I've gone through this, and our leadership team at Connect Church has gone through this just recently. We felt like Deo Pneuma was compelling us to start a new gathering in downtown Bozeman. It was the box. Nobody else in town is doing a Sunday night gathering. Most places stay in one location and just try to build bigger and bigger. We felt like the Holy Spirit was calling us to move into a new area and a new time, give people options, reach a new group of people. We had this Deo Pneuma to follow the Spirit in targeting down Bozeman, in addition to targeting the River Rock area. And so as we progressed, we didn't know what all the details were. We felt like the Spirit had given us a vision of what we wanted to do. We felt even like the Holy Spirit had said, start on the Sunday after Easter. But as time was ticking off, we didn't have a place to meet. We had no game plan. Nothing was in place. It was all very dark. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, I started getting fearful because we started talking about it. We started laying plans. Everything was in place. But we didn't have a place to meet. And at just the right moment, the Holy Spirit opened up the doors for us to be in that petite ballroom of the Baxter Hotel. And within a couple of weeks, we realized we are out of space. There's not enough room in that tiny little room for this gathering that was beginning to build momentum. And we couldn't afford the bigger room that was next door. And so again, I get fearful and I get freaked out. It was uncertain. It was this idea of certain uncertainty. The way is not clear. But at the right time, the Holy Spirit opened up the door so that we could move into the big room at a price that we could afford. And a lot of times when we're following God's plan and we're following this Deo Pneuma, we have to trust God step by step. We take one step and then he will reveal the step that comes after that step. We can't always see all of the details. Now, this drives me crazy. Does it drive anybody else crazy? If you've been walking with Jesus, you know how this works. It's exasperating But it's consistent in the Bible that this is part of the way God operates in our lives. The Apostle Paul describes this, this feeling of certain uncertainty in another place, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And this is going to be up on the screen. And what I want you to do, I'm going to read through this verse, but would you read out loud anything that's underlined? Would you do that with me? He says, I am coming to visit you after I have been to Macedonia, for I am planning to travel through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay a while. You can say a while. Oh, I didn't underline a while. Okay. Say a while. A while. Thank you. Perhaps I will stay a while with you, possibly all winter, and then you can send me on my way to my next destination. You'll see, he didn't know what the next destination was. Next verse says this, this time I don't want to make just a short visit and then go right on. I want to come and stay a while if the Lord will let me. In the meantime, I will be staying here at Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost. There is a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. And that leads us to our next road marker, which is this: predictable resistance. Predictable resistance. First of all, we have this Deo Pneuma that compels us forward. And then we have this certain uncertainty, this unclarity of exactly how the details are going to work out. And then Paul says that this is what happens to him. The Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. Jail and suffering lie ahead. Now here's something that I want you to understand. It's not in your notes, but you might want to write this down. Just because you face difficult times doesn't mean that you're out of God's will. So important that we understand this. Just because you face difficult times, it doesn't mean that you are out of God's will. If I can talk about our gathering in downtown Bozeman again. We had our grand opening 2 weeks ago, and we've talked about this for quite some time, and you know that we were making a big deal about this grand opening. We sent out mailers to 10,000 households in the Bozeman area. We advertised, did you see the little sticky note on the front page of the Bozeman Chronicle? We were doing all kinds of things, getting the word out that our grand opening was coming. We were gearing up. Our leadership team was working very hard, and then all kinds of chaos just broke loose. I didn't share this with many of you because it was just crazy. It just seemed like absolutely everything was going wrong. A week before our grand opening, Chris and I had to put one of our dogs down. And if you're not a pet owner, that might not seem like a big deal to you, but it was horrifying to us. We just felt like a part of us had died. And it was just a week before that happened. And then that same weekend, John and Emily had a little baby girl. And a couple of days after that, their blood tests discovered the little girl had this horrible, rare genetic disorder. And so John and Emily's family was just all in disarray. And then that same week, Bill Christ, who's one of our elders, part of our elder team, a key player at Connect Church, he had to have knee replacement surgery. And very, very difficult time. Just took him out of the equation altogether because of his surgery and his recovery time. He was just taken out of the equation. And then Shoni had to take a trip the week before our grand opening, and it was necessary for her to go. And that week, I'll tell you, as a pastor, I just felt like everything was unraveling. And I kept praying and asking, God, what are you doing? Why is this happening? Every key player on our team is in this huge crisis. And you know what it was? It was this predictable resistance. And I wasn't completely blind to this. I did realize what was going on. And I began to pray very strongly that Jesus would bring us out of this spiritual opposition that was taking place. And he really did. We had an incredible grand opening. Our team operated like a well-oiled machine. It was beautiful. We welcomed 75 people to our grand opening, which was about double what our average attendance has been. Last week, we had more first-time visitors, and that thing is poised to take off, and we're so excited about what the Spirit is doing. And then once we got past that grand opening, They did more blood tests on little baby Hannah, John's new baby girl, and they found out that her symptoms of this genetic disorder were disappearing. It's miraculous that this was happening. Bill is back in church today for the first time. Glad to have him here. And Terry shared with me this morning that he's getting more movement in his leg than he has in decades, just a couple of weeks after his surgery. And so all of this stuff was well orchestrated by our spiritual enemy that opposes us anytime we begin to walk in the perfect will of God. Did you hear what I said? Anytime we begin walking in the perfect will of God, our spiritual enemy, the devil, will bring predictable resistance to us. And it doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God if you're having trouble. Let me give you a couple of other examples. You may be one of those people who feels like in your life you take three steps forward and two steps back. Have you ever been there? It may be this predictable resistance in your life. It happens like this. Maybe you've been studying the scriptures or you've been listening to some of the teachings that I've been sharing recently, and the Holy Spirit has been giving you that Deo Pneuma that you've got to shed the materialistic obsession of our culture. You've got to steward God's money better. You've got to get out of debt, pay off the credit card, stop accumulating so much stuff. Give generously the way the Lord commands you to. And so you make the decision, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go all the way with my financial stewardship with God. And you make that spiritual decision to walk in the perfect will of God for your life. What happens? Something huge breaks, right? Doesn't that always happen? And all of a sudden you've got a $1,500 bill that you can't pay. And you're saying, God, why? When I'm trying to follow you, why don't you make everything fall into perfect order? Well, it's because we have predictable resistance. Or maybe you're one of those people who have been married for a while, and when you got married, you made those vows, and it seemed like the future was rosy, and you were going to be one of those couples that just made it all the way. And then kids came, and financial pressures came, and job changes came, and your marriage just began to be unhappy and difficult, and there was a lot of conflict. And one day you woke up and you said, I'm going to speak to guys, but this could be women too. You said, I'm going to be the kind of husband that God has called me to be. And instead of being selfish, I'm going to start laying down my life for my wife. I'm going to serve her. I'm going to be like Jesus to the church. I'm going to be everything Ephesians chapter 5 calls me to be as a husband. And you pray and you make this commitment to God. And what happens? By 7 o'clock that night, you've had the worst fight you've had with your wife in a decade, right? Why? It's predictable resistance. It's predictable resistance. And what I want you to know today that is this. If you are planning to walk in the perfect will of God, if you've sensed that Deo Pneuma that's compelling you forward, and you're taking faith steps when you can't even see all the details, you can expect spiritual opposition to come. This is the third road sign in finding God's perfect will for your life. Let's talk about number four. The fourth road sign is this. Uncommon clarity. Uncommon clarity. Here's what Paul said. He said, the Spirit is compelling me to go to Jerusalem. He said, I don't know all the details. I don't know what's ahead of me. But I know that the Spirit is warning me that opposition is coming. And then in verse 19, he said this, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. What is he saying? He's saying, I don't know all the steps in front of me, but I know that Jesus has given me a work to do, and it's crystal clear to me. Paul is saying, my work is to tell everyone the wonderful good news about the grace of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The message that Jesus came and he lived as a man. And he died on behalf of sinners everywhere. trading his death for the death that every one of us deserved. This was the message that Paul was compelled to proclaim, and there was nothing in his life more important than that message. He had uncommon clarity. And friends, so many of us live without any kind of clarity. We go from thing to thing to thing. We bounce from mission to mission without ever coming to a point of clarity with what God is calling us to do and to be. Uncommon clarity is road sign number four. Let me take you to the story in the Old Testament of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a great, great character. And before we read this verse in just a second, let me tell you a little bit of the story. The nation Israel had been sent off into exile. They had sinned against God for many, many years. And finally, the Assyrians and the Babylonians came in, sacked the city, took most of the people off into exile. And at the end of this exile period, Nehemiah went back to the city of Jerusalem and found that the city was in ruins. The wall was broken down. There was nothing left. And he felt that deo pneuma in the pit of his stomach to rebuild the wall. And so he began to assemble a team around him, and they began brick by brick, block by block, building that wall back again. And you know what happened once he began working on that? It was that predictable resistance came. And there were a bunch of people that didn't want the wall rebuilt because it meant that Jerusalem would become a fortified city again, that they could rebuild, they could become powerful, they could become a national threat once again to their neighbors. The resistance came. And so they developed a strategy. They said, if we can get Nehemiah off the wall, we can halt the building of this wall. And so they went to distract Nehemiah. Now I want you to see this verse. Nehemiah said this in chapter 6, verse 3. He said, I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? Let me read that first sentence again. I am doing a great work. Down. Nehemiah had this uncommon clarity of knowing exactly what it was that Deo Pneuma was compelling him to do. He had to rebuild that wall. The Apostle Paul had uncommon clarity. He knew that nothing else mattered in his life. Nothing else mattered except to proclaim the good news of the gospel that did not know Jesus Christ. In my life, the older I get and the more experience I have and the closer I get to Jesus, the more crystal clear it becomes to me that God has called me to do a great work. I believe that my mission in my life, as Jesus enables me to do this, is to help people reconnect to God. And that's what our mission at Connect Church is to help people reconnect to God. And this clarity is coming to me more and more and more all the time. And every once in a while, in fact, quite I get a phone call or I get an email from somebody who says, Pastor Russ, I feel like we need to do something. Let's get politically active and let's fight this great cause or whatever it is. It could be politics, whatever. I get emails and phone calls all the time. And I feel sometimes like I'm Nehemiah and I just want to say, I'm doing a great work and I can't come down because I can't afford to do stuff that will distract me from the mission of helping people reconnect to God. That's the one thing that Jesus has called me to do. Well, actually, I have two things. The second thing, God has given me a wonderful wife, and those of you that know her know she's a treasure. And God has called me to be the best husband I can possibly be, laying down my life, laying down my desires and my wants so that my wife prospers and that her spirit prospers and that she can become everything she can. And so sometimes I have obligations or people need me on in the evenings, and every once in a while I have to say I'm doing a great work loving my wife and I can't come down. That happened just this last week. There was a meeting for small group leaders this last Monday night, and Shoni was leading that. Chris and I wanted to go. We were planning to go, but Monday afternoon I looked at Chris's eyes and I knew she was at the end. And I said, Shoni, can you do it without us tonight? And Shoni said, absolutely, you take care of your wife. I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. This happens when we're walking in that sweet spot of the will of God and the clarity comes and you know that nothing can distract you from doing a great work. And so, once again, this is the you have this deo pneuma, this compulsion to do what the Spirit is calling you to do. You may not know what's ahead. There's a little bit of fuzziness. And then there's some spiritual opposition, and then the clarity comes. It's crystal clear. These are four road markers that identify for you that you are in the perfect will of God. So let me give you some next steps as we wrap this up this morning. If you're looking for God's plan for your life, if you're trying to make decisions, if you're trying to decide, decipher exactly what it is that God is calling you to, here's three things that you can put into place in your life. Number one is this: watch for the signs. Watch for the signs. I was so excited a couple of weeks ago when this person from Connect Church called me up and said, "Can we have coffee? I need to talk to you about this decision I have to make." What was she doing? She's watching for the signs. She had this gut feeling. She thought she was recognizing the voice of the Spirit, but she wanted to make sure. That's a good thing to do. Pay attention, and when you start feeling that deo pneuma in your life, investigate it. Don't ignore it or hope it'll go away, but start acting on those signs. When you see the other signs that you don't have all the details laid out or there's opposition, pay attention to those signs. Watch for the signs. And then step number two is this: don't go off-roading. Don't go off-roading. Well, it is fun, John, but when you start stepping out of those boundaries of God's will and start ignoring the signs that are helping you to stay within the sweet spot of God's plan for your life, sometimes we have a temptation, especially if we don't like what deo pneuma is compelling us to do, we have a temptation to go off-roading, don't we? I want to encourage you, stick to the road signs. Follow the road signs. Live in the perfect will of God. And then number three is this: don't let fear stall you. Don't let fear stall you. So often, the thing that God is calling you to do seems like it's so much bigger than you are. A lot of times, God will give you a dream that's a God-sized dream. It's not a Russ-sized dream. This isn't something I could dream up. It's a God-sized dream. And if I let fear control me, then I won't follow that deo pneuma, and I won't live in the perfect will of God. Don't let fear stall you. Sound like a good plan? How many of you want to find the sweet spot? Would you raise your hand real high? You want to find the sweet spot. Keep your hands raised and bow your heads in prayer, would you? Lord Jesus, this morning we're raising our hands because, Jesus, we want to follow you with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our passion. Everything within us is compelled to follow you. But, Lord, many of us this morning are in a place where we are in confusion or we're unclear. Some of us are living in a place of fear. Some of us are living in a place of rebellion. Jesus, this morning, we want to offer all of those things to you and say, yes, Lord, give us the deo pneuma, the voice of the Spirit that is so powerful, Lord, that we are going to be led as though we're chained to the Holy Spirit. Give us that as a gift, Lord Jesus, and give us hearts that are willing and anxious to follow you obediently. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand together? There's a song that you may have heard on the radio lately that is a great song of commitment. And Victoria is going to lead us in this. Would you sing along with her this morning?
The pathway is broken, the signs are unclear. And I don't know the reason why you brought me here. But just because you love me the way that you do, I'm gonna walk through the valley if you want me to.